We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today's episode is both enlightening and important. Christy Asper of Paper Baristas is sharing her journey of finding ethical manufacturing partners. But let me back up here. Paper Baristas is run by a husband and wife team, Christy and John Mark. Paper Baristas started in August of 2015 as a wedding invitation business that first swore off ever doing stationery goods, and now that is all that they do. They use their business as a platform to give back while doing what they love. Paper Baristas is an ethically sourced brand whose mission is to create beautiful products by beautiful people for a beautiful cause. Their focus is on creating high-quality products that raise awareness and help fight modern-day slavery in the supply chain. Their desire to sustainably source has made a tremendous impact in what they create and also how they create it. And Christy is on a mission to raise awareness and change manufacturing culture around fair trade practices and ethical supply chains. In addition to talking about ethical sourcing today, in this episode, we are also talking about a big branding pivot that Christy and John made after exhibiting at the Greeting Card Association's noted trade show. Christy also shares her biggest accomplishments and how she defines success in her business today. You will also hear Christy talk about her experience inside of our Proof to Product Labs program. It's a one-year group coaching program that is specifically built for product-based businesses. Christy attended our Paper Camp program in 2016 and has gone on to add more than 200 stores to her wholesale roster. When she found herself hitting new growth hurdles and needing further coaching, she says that labs popped up at the perfect time for her, which I really loved hearing. If you need help growing your business, whether that's marketing strategies, sales tactics, product sourcing, or general operations, come join us inside of Proof to Product Labs. You not only get access to all of our upcoming live trainings for the year, but also our archives of past trainings and resources. So you can get more info at prooftoproduct.com/labs. All right, let's dive in and learn more about ethical sourcing with Christy from Paper Baristas. Hey, Christy, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hey, thanks, Katie, for having me. It's a huge honor.
I am so happy to have you. I'm really excited about our conversation today and what we have planned to talk about. But first, tell us about your brand, Paper Baristas. What do you sell and what prompted you to start this business?
Yeah, we occasionally get the emails of, do we have a menu? We don't sell food. We sell paper goods. And really, it's that twist and idea from coffee that's fair trade. And we want people to understand that fair trade is in everything we consume, including paper products. So that transition of being paper, but fair trade. And we also love coffee. So all of our products include some kind of little coffee pun in a sense, not every one of our cards, but like our planners and our journals and all of that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What has been your biggest challenge in growing your business?
Sourcing, for sure. So our main push is being ethical. And for us, what that really means is making sure that people on the other end, on the manufacturing end, are paid sustainably. So that means that they have a sustainable living when they leave work, that they are not slaves to where they work. They're not in sweatshops. There's no child labor.
And do you manufacture mostly in the US or abroad? Where are your partners located?
Yeah. So, well, that's just an ongoing thing. So when we first started off, we really weren't paying attention to that at all. And we can talk about that a little bit later. We did a big pivot. But, you know, at first when we were really trying to monitor the supply chain, we were only working with US manufacturers. And for us, we just couldn't find manufacturing overseas that we could have a clean supply chain. And so for us, that meant that like it was very transparent, that they had certs that showed that they were ethically sourcing and fairly paying all of their workers. So yeah, first we were doing that. And then we tried to get fair trade certified, which I didn't know, which I feel so dumb saying now, but I didn't know at the time that fair trade meant that over 70% of your products are made in the global South. So that means that a lot of third world countries and that they're getting paid fairly sustainably. And so that's when we started making a shift. And then I also had a conversation with you because I feel like that was the thing that I kept asking over and over again. I'm like, I need help with manufacturing. Anytime you're like, what do you guys want to talk about? I was like, manufacturing, how do we fix our margins? So, you know, when we were trying to get fair trade certified, which we're towards the end of that process right now, which we're so excited about, but we learned that we needed to manufacture overseas. And when I was talking to you, you were saying, well, even some of these US companies have this kind of, well, they get it manufactured overseas and then send it back here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, again, it's been like this onion, this peeling layer of this business and not realizing, like, I just thought that they were made in the US. You know, their address says, you know, such and such state. So we, thanks to your referral, we got a hold of Heather from Copper Bottom Designs, and she connected us with some ethically sourced manufacturers, which was magnificent. So we've been in the process of talking with them about how we can work to create some of our products.
I will say the process of finding manufacturing partners is such an onion, as you described it, because one, you're trying to figure out what kind of products you want to create, right? Mm-hmm. And then you need to figure out who you want to work with to produce them. Absolutely. And you need to make sure that they hit certain dollar amounts and margins. And you know, you've got that aspect of it. And then two, what you're talking about is having to ask some very in-depth questions of your manufacturing partners. And I'm sure you probably got a little pushback as you'd start to dig in there. Like, kind of questions were you asking, and were people open to answering them?
Well, we've gotten good enough now where we can sniff out, like, we don't even need to go further in this discussion. Mm-hmm. So sometimes a representative from that company will say, well, I get paid well. I'm like, I'm not asking about you. I'm asking about the very end of that supply chain. Are we certain that there is, you know, fair pay for them? Are there good working conditions? Are they not working around the clock so that we can get our products, you know, as fast as possible and as cheap as possible? So yeah, and we've learned to ask what kind of certifications to ask for, which took a long time. Like, you know, I think the thing that I've been most surprised about in this journey, and even Heather from Copper Bottoms Design said, I've never had anyone ask me about, like, is this manufacturer ethically sourcing? And so we didn't know, like, everyone says, you know, oh, do fair trade or ethically source, but no one tells you how to do it at all. And so it's really been this, like, trying to figure out what kind of certifications bigger companies look for, and just asking, you know, it's a lot of emails and asking bigger people and hoping that they respond to your, not asking for their manufacturers, but just how they got to a place where they were getting just that real quality, with also making sure that their margins were working and also making sure that their workers are paid well.
So you mentioned red flags. Like, there's certain times where you don't even proceed with additional questions because you recognize that they're not going to be a good fit. What are some of those red flags that would prevent you from working with a partner?
Yeah, if they don't have a certification showing that they have fair labor, that they abide by fair labor practices, like, that's totally, you know, like, you'll ask them for it and they'll say, yeah, and then you don't hear back right away. So typically a company that is certified, they'll be able to produce those certifications very quickly. And the more, as companies, we begin to ask for those things, the more that, you know, manufacturers are going to see that this is important to us and that we will not buy from them if they do not have these certifications. They are very expensive. So there were certain factories that we wanted to work with, but then we would have to get them certified. And then even after we get them certified through, like, Sedex or anything like that, it can be $3,000 down the drain every 6 months. Yeah. And it, you know, it might not even work out. They might not be treating their.
Well, I was going to say, and it's hard for quality control in that, right? Like, you're not there to actually see what's happening. There.
Yeah. So immediate turnaround and showing certification. So oftentimes companies that we are working with, they'll be able to say, like, here are all the certifications we have, and here are recent audits from certain big businesses. Mm-hmm. And that's been really great. I also kind of troll like a fair trade memberships and whole the worldwide fair trade memberships to look for certain manufacturers. So that's always a key. Like if they're fair trade certified, they are being audited consistently.
Right.
And then I also tell them like we are being fair trade certified. So like we are going to get audited. You will get audited. So that kind of scares people away. They probably, sometimes they don't even respond back. They're just like,
I was going to say, that's a good metric though, because if that intimidates them or makes them not want, like, it's a good sign that they're probably not doing what they need to be doing.
Yeah. It's so hard as like a business owner to not want to work with certain people because their margins are amazing. Right.
And you're like, right.
I've been looking for you my whole life. You know, your quality is amazing. Yeah. Your prices are just right. And they're like, yeah, we treat our workers fairly and we have certifications, but they don't, but then you have to ask the question even further. You have to say, okay, then send me those certifications and then we can begin talking. And I, you know, even today I just had an email where I said that to someone. I'm like, okay, well send those documents my way and we can chat from there. And I haven't heard back. And to me, I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know, that the 6-month journey of maybe even finding a manufacturer. So yeah, I mean, I think the easiest route to go is getting it made in the US, you know, if you know for sure that they're making them in the US, but you know, the margins are going to be really difficult to beat. And so for us as a company, we've decided that we want, and we have the liberty to do that. You know, I know not everyone has that, but we wanted to take a bite into that ethical sourcing. So we didn't want to push it off to the store owner. We didn't want to push it off to the consumer. We wanted to take a bite into that. And so our prices are really competitive with everyone else. That doesn't mean that we make our margins every time. And sometimes when we're trying to just start something, you know, like our planners, the very first year we were like, we just hope to make our money back on them, you know? Mm-hmm. Test the water, see if they work, and we'll go from there because we couldn't get the quantities we wanted and definitely not the margins, but we knew we were ethically sourcing them. And we give 10% back to a bigger nonprofit that helps clean the supply chain. So we definitely, like, we're definitely going to make break even. You know, that first year we did planners, we definitely broke even. We sold all of them, thankfully. But it's kind of just a, oh, I hope we do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's always scary and there's always a financial risk when we move into any new product category, but you are adding an added layer of, you know, checks and balances. You're adding another layer of cost to it. But I will tell, like, for our audience, I have worked with you personally, both through Paper Camp in 2016 and now through a Proof of Product Labs program. And I know that this is a core value of your business. Absolutely. This is something that everything is centered on. So, you know, like any of us in our businesses, we're making choices every day about what we're spending time on, what we're spending money on, and what our areas of focus are. But my point is, this is a priority for you. And so I applaud you. And I want to just point out to everyone listening that you made a conscious decision to do this and to also maintain market value for the products you're selling when you do take them to retail and wholesale. Like, you're not passing that extra cost on. You're finding ways to make it work internally before you take the product to market.
Yeah, I think we're always like trying to, and thank you, by the way, that's super kind of you.
Of course.
I mean, I think I'm always taking a look at it as a consumer, whether it's the retail shop or whether it's just the direct consumer. And I think of it often like I go to the grocery store, right? Like, I would love, and no one hate me for this, I would love to buy more organic stuff or buy at a really like all natural food grocery store, but the prices are crazy and I've got kids. And so I'm probably not going to pick the organic product, you know, if it's priced twice as much as something else. And so what we really wanted to do was make ethical products available to everyone, which I think it shouldn't just be for the elite, right? That choose to make that decision. Like, I think that we should be really putting products out there that care about people, you know, the people making them, the people who are buying them, and then causing other companies to look around and say like, oh, maybe we should be doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah. You're leading by example, which I love.
Yeah. And by poverty sometimes.
Well, no, I know. So, you know, as I mentioned, this is like a major core value of yours. How are you working the ethical manufacturing into your marketing and your communication with customers, whether that's retail customers or direct to consumer customers? You know, how are you weaving that into what you talk about publicly?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen even in labs, I've seen people ask about branding and what that looks like and how do you weave it all together. And, you know, I would say it didn't happen overnight for us, for sure. And when we went to Noted in New York, which was kind of just a smaller, for those of you who don't know, it's the Greeting Card Association's trade show that was really focused on the artist as opposed to like the buyer. And it was really from that experience that we really did a pivot on our branding. When we first started, we were giving to 3 different nonprofits. The different card lines or different products had a very different look based on the organization we were giving back towards. And so it really felt like on social media, Instagram will tell you immediately if you're like on brand or not, right? Like, because you're like, okay, I'm putting up this pretty card today. And then tomorrow I'm talking about sex trafficking, you know, it was this super clash for us. And so when I was in Noted and I had my booth up and I had all these like cutesy cards. And then like as a buyer would come by, I'd have to give them my spiel of like the 3 different organizations we give to and why. So I had one line that was specifically like towards men and it was help to fight sex trafficking. And then another one that was like Southern and it gave back to a cancer organization that I worked for a long time. And then another one that gave back to miscarriages. So I had a whole line of like baby miscarriages. And so it was really confusing. And we just didn't have a niche. You know what I mean? Like I went in there and I was just, I think I went into stationery for a lot of reasons, you know, like a lot of other people. I was in the wedding industry before that and in social work before that. But like, I really wanted to make a difference and nothing about my brand really stood out, whether it was like my designs. Like I just felt like I was one of the many. And if you're going to buy a card from me at the same price from someone who's a very well-known brand who is making just as cute cards, if not cuter, then they're going to go with them. So I really felt like there was something that I needed to hone in that made me different. And I needed to be clear about my messaging with my, where we're wanting to make a social impact. So for us, that was coming back from Noted, which was a wonderful, wonderful experience, but very, very bad business for us. Like we came away with like negative orders. So we've gone to paper camp and luckily we knew that, hey, we might not get a single person purchase from us, but we did have a buyer, but they were already one of our customers. And so they got all the deals that you would at a show. And so it really was like a negative. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like you're spending all this stuff. But the positive was we saw that we were so much like everyone else that we really needed to like hone down our branding. And so all of those cards have been discontinued. You can find them on our clearance section. And then from there, we started saying like, what are we really passionate about? And for me, it really was this slave labor that I really was, when I originally went into it, I really was focusing on human trafficking in regards to the sex industry, because that's all I really knew, right? Like I'd heard about these things, but I didn't realize that 70% of slavery today is caused by manufacturing. And it's manufacturing for products that you and I in this first world consume. And for me, that was shocking. And the fact that we have more slaves today than we have ever in history, we were just blown away. And we knew that was the way we could mirror our product with our cause, because we wanted to make a huge impact. So although I originally went into it with just fighting like sex trafficking and sex slavery, I switched over to focusing on slavery in the supply chain. And once I started doing that, kind of like the onion thing that I was talking about, I started realizing that a lot of the products that we created could most likely be made by on the backs of slaves, from the paper that we were sourcing, which there's a lot of child labor in paper mills, like getting the wood to turn it into pulp, to like steel. There's no steel manufacturers in the US, so we had to go overseas. And it was, you know, once it took us a long time to bring back some mugs that we were doing because we couldn't find an ethical source from that. So we just realized, oh man, like a lot of our products are possibly not only like trying to give back, but also contributing to the problem. And so from then on, we've really tried to look at it just like a nonprofit in a sense. Like we want to raise awareness. We want to change the culture of manufacturing, and we want to provide these products that are ethically sourced at a reasonable cost that normal people can buy, you know, normal middle class, you and me, like, can buy. And we found an organization. We were originally giving back to one that was focusing on sex trafficking, but we switched over to the International Justice Mission. And some of their bigger clients are Target and Walmart, and they help clean up their supply chain. And so for us, like, those big people aren't our enemies. If we can all make a huge impact, that's the best way to do it, you know, in your bigger shopping areas that people are mostly going to go to. If we really want to end slavery today, like, that's how we can do it. So anyway, that they're an amazing organization that does incredible things. And they have a lot of lawyers on hand that help, like, not just with helping them clean their supply chain, but with laws and changing laws in different countries.
That's awesome. It's great that you have that support and in an organization that you can partner with and you can give back to them, and they're supporting you too in the, in the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
So tell me, just shifting gears a little bit here, but this may relate. I don't know. We'll see. What is something you're most proud of in your business, an accomplishment or something that you guys have attained?
Okay. This is going to be maybe a little bit, maybe two things. I think for us, like, well, we, because of our social media, and we're able to, like, every Sunday we share, like, a stat on modern day slavery. And someone reached out to us who we know, but they are now living in another country. And they personally had someone that they knew who was now being forced into bonded labor. And we were able to direct them, like, to the right organizations, and that person is now free. And so if just one person is free from modern day slavery because of a product that we create, like, that's that, like, my husband and I both were like, whoa, like, that feels like the biggest thing we've ever done. And we were such, like, on the ground with it, you know? So it's incredible what people do on the grounds to make sure that people can leave and leave safely in their restoration process. So that would be one of the biggest things. We've gotten to have just a great experience, even just, like, we're still going to in-person shows, but that are safely put out there. So there's, like, there's a lot of social distancing. Everyone has to wear masks. But one of the events that we've been able to go to is at Magnolia. And that's been just, I mean, just the incredible talent that's there and their brand and how they roll things out. That's been another big high for us.
That's awesome. How would you define success currently? I know that your definition of success for the business has definitely changed over the years. So right now in 2020, we're in Q4, right?
Yeah. We're in Q4.
Oh my gosh.
It's like this long running marathon because of,
I know,
you know, you're just like, what day is it? What year is it?
I know. Right. So forgive me on that one, but, like, how do you define success right now for your business? What does that look like?
Well, every year we have, like, a different goal and focus. And as long as we're meeting, like, that goal, for me, I feel, like, super successful. And so for us this year was to really work on our margins and get fair trade certified. So, like, that goal, and we're practically almost there. So we've made huge cuts on a lot of things that were creating our margins to go up. So a lot of it's, we're cutting out the middleman and we're working directly with artisans. And that's been huge. To cut out costs, and then just figuring out, you know, going from a smaller, like, from just a startup to being in some more stores. And now I think we're at over 200 stores. Like, going from there in, like, the last year and a half, really the focus has been on giving some incredible customer service, you know? And so that for us is a win too, you know, that our people know us, you know? Yeah. And that's hard to do once you start scaling and getting bigger, but just constantly letting them know that they are the reason why we are ticking. For us, I would much rather someone buy from a shop that's bought from us than from us directly, regardless of the margins. And so that's been a big success for us. And two, just being able to share how to ethically source manufacturers. You know, I think sometimes that's hard, and I do understand why people don't share all the time, but, you know, I think if we do the hard work, you know, it'll pay off for everyone.
Totally. you're in our labs program, and this is something that we just launched this year. And my goal, in alignment with what you're talking about, was accessibility. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to be able to access professional development and learn from their peers and learn from me and the guest experts we're bringing in at a more like affordable rate. For me, it was about connectivity and engagement and that customer journey like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What has been the biggest benefit to you of being inside of labs for the last, I guess, 6 months now that we've been doing it?
Oh my goodness. So much. Well, one, I think, especially during these COVID times, and I think this is obvious, is just the fact that like it kept us going and we've had better sales than we've had. I mean, we haven't really been affected by it. And I think it's consistently by the things that you put out there of like, how do we roll out emails? How do we keep selling when you feel down in the dumps about what's going on, you know, so that's been huge. But I remember, Katie, I was reaching out to you about mentoring because I was at that stage of like, I need to move forward and I feel like I'm churning. You know, I think that there's a place in your business when you start needing coaching, when you just feel like the wheels are just churning and you're doing the same thing, but nothing's changing in regards to like profit or moving forward or gaining success. And so I could not afford like the one-on-one mentorship, although I knew it would be extremely valuable. I just couldn't do it. And then a couple of months later, you came out with labs and it has been the absolute perfect thing for us to learn how to grow. And I think what's astonishing to me is just like, and I think this has been always with just any alumni from Proof to Product, is just the generosity and the information shared. So you will outline like, we need to talk about email marketing. And then people will start sharing just like what they're using and how they're using it. And it's just a wealth of information of people who get it, you know, because we're all working usually alone from home, maybe a small team, but, you know, so it's good to have that amazing community that's there supporting you and giving you feedback. And I mean, you can just ask anywhere, anything there, and it's such a safe place. So it's the coaching that I've needed at the price that I can afford.
I'm glad to hear that because, again, I wanted to make it available and accessible to all. So yeah. I just thank you for that feedback. I really appreciate it. Okay, let's talk about what you are working on right now. What are you excited about? What's coming up soon that you're releasing?
Okay, gosh, I really want to share this. I wasn't told not to share it, so I don't know if I should share it. You know, it's one of those things like, oh, I hope I can share this. So I'm going to share it. I'm a pretty transparent person. So we are working with Magnolia to produce just a card of handmade paper. So our handmade paper, we went with handmade paper because of the child labor that is in pulping with wood. And so we work with Direct Artisans there. So we letterpress it in-house in the letterpress we have in our bathroom, by the way. And we are working with Magnolia to create just a line just for them about things that are kind of Chip and Joe's sayings. So for those of you who don't know like what Magnolia is, they're basically like the couple who started up Fixer Upper in Waco. And so we're really excited about that. They're going to have some shops at Magnolia. So they're going to have like little stationery store and we're just letterpressing just a certain batch that's just for them. So we're not going to sell it, but they will sell it in their shop based on like...
That is so exciting.
I know, right? I'm so excited. And just like, I mean, I remember like, I was like, I'm going to feel big whenever like we get something in paper source, and we did. And that was just so incredible. Also due to a trade show that we did. So yeah. So I think we're seeing some like bigger things and
well, you're seeing the fruits of your labor. You are seeing the hard work and years of dedication and the transitions you've had to made and the, you know, just all the things you've amassed in terms of research and learning and putting it into practice. Like, I don't know. All of these successes you're describing didn't just fall in your lap. I hope you realize that this was the results of your hard work.
Aw, thanks. Some of it I do feel like, you know, and I think someone said this, and all my wisdom comes from like Proof to Product, but I feel like someone said sometimes it's luck, you know, like meeting the right person at the right time and just keep doing, like keep showing up.
Yes.
And that's just what we've done. We've just kept showing up. And sometimes that's meant that we don't do a trade show and we just, you know, one-on-one follow-up. It just all depends on our numbers that year, like what we can do. But showing up can look like a lot of different things.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, let's tell people where they can find you online to check out your products and follow you on social.
Yeah. paperbaristas.com, or our handles are paperbaristas on Facebook and on Instagram. Pretty simple. And awesome. We don't sell coffee.
That's your new tagline, right? We don't sell coffee. Awesome. Well, Christy, thank you so much for your time today. This was awesome chatting with you.
Thanks for having me. Such an honor.
It was my pleasure. I learned so much during this episode from Christy about the complexities of ethical sourcing. As a consumer, it was really interesting to think about how the products that we're using on a day-to-day basis are made. And obviously, it hits closer to home given that most of us are producing consumer goods that listen to the show, right? So I hope you found this episode helpful too. Before we sign off, I want to share a note that I received from Erica Lockwell of Our Back Pockets. Erica joined Proof to Product Labs earlier this year, and here's what she had to say about the program. I am loving labs, the community, the resources, the learning. I really like the monthly focus and the workbooks you provide each month. Your coaching is superb, and the masterclasses have been phenomenal. I'm honestly blown away. I knew this would be a useful offering, but I don't think I realized just how robust, supportive, and educational it would be. Thank you so much, Erica, for this note. It made my day. Listeners, the doors to Proof to Product Labs are always open so that you can get the help you need when you need it most. Go to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more and join our 1-year group coaching program. All right, friends, thank you so much for listening to the very end. I will be back soon with a new episode. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.